وأنه خارج، وليس كما يقول المعتزلة وأتباعهم من أنه أمر فقط معنوي. يقولون هذا الشر الذي كثر في الأرض هو الدجال، هذه الحروب وهذه الفتن هي الدجال. وبعضهم لما عرف أنه أعور قال التلفاز هو الدجال، لأنه يعني له شاشة. قلنا فكيف إذا صنعوا تلفازا بشاشتين لا يكون أعور؟ فهذا كلام فارغ، يعني هذا كلام المعتزلة وأتباعهم الجهمية وأشباههم الذين يحكمون آراءهم في كل شيء ولا يؤمنون بالغيب. نؤمن أن الدجال خارج لا محالة، وأيضا نؤمن أن يأجوج ومأجوج موجودان. واحد يقول إن هذه الأقمار الصناعية مسحت الأرض كلها، لا يوجد يأجوج ومأجوج. تؤمن بذلك، تؤمن بذلك وإن لم يعرف الناس أين هم، تؤمن بذلك. فالله وحده هو الذي قد أحاط بكل شيء علما، تؤمن بذلك. وأن المسيح الدجال رجل، شخص، رجل مخلوق، إنسان يخرج، وأنه يجتاح الأرض كلها، يحكم كل الأرض إلا مكة والمدينة، لا يستطيع أن يدخل مكة والمدينة. وأنه مكتوب بين عينيه كافر حقيقة، كما ورد في الأحاديث يقرأها كل مؤمن كاتب وغير كاتب، يقرأها كل مؤمن كاتب وغير كاتب. وأن الأحاديث التي جاءت فيه صحيحة، وأن الإمام بأن ذلك كائن، وأن الله عز وجل ما أنزل داء إلا وأنزل له دواء. فالداء هو الدجال مسيح الضلالة، والدواء هو مسيح الهدى عيسى عليه السلام. ينزل عيسى بن مريم، ينزل في دمشق عند المنارة البيضاء من المسجد الأموي، وهذا من أعلام النبوة. فلم تكن دمشق قد فتحت، بل لم تكن دمشق قد بنيت، ولم يكن المسجد الأموي موجودا عندما أخبر النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بذلك، ولم تكن هناك منارة بيضاء. فهذا علم من أعلام نبوته صلوات الله وسلامه عليه. ففتحت الشام وبنيت دمشق وبني المسجد وبنيت المنارة البيضاء، وسينزل عندها عيسى عليه السلام كما أخبر النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. ينزل تحمله الملائكة ليستوفي ما بقي من عمره وأجله، ينزل ويتجه إلى بيت المقدس حيث يحصر الدجال جماعة من المؤمنين في بيت المقدس، فيهرب الدجال إلى مكان موجود الآن يقال له لد، وفيه مطار لليهود، طهر الله الأرض منهم، فيه مطار لليهود يسمى بمطار لد. فعند ذلك المكان يدركه عيسى عليه السلام ويقتله شر قتله. فهذا كله نؤمن به كما جاء في الآثار والأحاديث الصحاح، وما يقع مما أخبر به النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم فهو مما يزيد المؤمنين إيمانا، لا يتوقف إيمانهم على وقوعه. بل كما فتحت الشام وبنيت دمشق وبني المسجد وبنيت المنارة البيضاء، كل ما أخبر به صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم سوف يتحقق وسوف يقع. لا بد أن تؤمن بذلك وأن توقن بذلك. وهذا موقفنا في درس اليوم، وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على محمد وآله وصحبه وسلم.
So the Sheikh ended in what is the most important class of this whole daura, inshallah ta'ala, the class of Aqeed and Minhaj. He said the last thing that we want to deal with is the issue of the Ashrat of the Sa'a, the signs of the hour. Jumlatan, we have many of them, and we have to believe in all of them. And there are some detailed aspects of it. Like the belief in Ad-Dajjal. Ad-Dajjal, he is a human being from Bani Adam. He is not a jinn. He is a human being from Bani Adam. He has been described for us in the authentic narrations of the Prophet Salawatullahi wasalamu alayhi. He has been described as being a short man. He has been described as being a person who has one eye. He has power. He's one eye. He has been described as having hair that is khashan. He has coarse hair. The Sheikh went on to say, we are not like the Mu'tazila, the people who, as it relates to a Dajjal, what do the Mu'tazila believe? They say that the whole issue of a Dajjal, as has been explained to us by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is ma'nawi. It's just something that he mentioned, just something that he said. It's not a reality to it. The Sheikh went on to say that some people, they tell us, That the Dajjal is the evil that's in the earth. This is a Dajjal. All of these wars, all of the famine, all of the fighting, they say that this is the interpretation of a Dajjal. And then some other people say that the Dajjal is the TV. He said, wait, if the Dajjal is the TV, there's proof that this is wicked. If we brought two TVs, there are two eyes. A Dajjal has one eye. So the Dajjal, he cannot be the TV. But instead, the Dajjal is the real human being from Bani Adam. So let us not be like these people of deviance from the Jahmiyyah, the people of the Mu'tazila. No, we have to believe in this. We have to believe in it. And other issues that we have been told about, like Ya'juj and Ma'juj, and that they are present right now. And with all of the satellite and all of the capabilities that these people have, they have not detected the presence of Ya'juj and Ma'juj, and yet they are present. So, believing in these issues, whether we know about it or we don't know about it, it is irrelevant. As long as it is established, we have to believe in it. The people don't know where Ya'juj is and where Ma'juj is. But yet, we have to believe in it because only Allah is the one who is muhitum bi kulli shay. Only Allah's knowledge encompasses everything. No one else's knowledge encompasses everything. Because you don't know where the Ya'juj and Ma'juj is, you're not going to believe in it. Only Allah knows everything, where everything is, and what everything, the reality of it is. So, we believe in a Dajjal. Part of our belief in a Dajjal is that we believe that he will have been given the ability to have supremacy and to rule the whole earth. With the exception of Mecca and Medina. He will not be able to enter into Mecca and Medina. A Dajjal will be able to enter into every place except Mecca and Medina. As it relates to a Dajjal, every single person who has Iman, virtues of Iman, every single person who has Iman, every believer, will be able to read and detect a Dajjal because he will have written on his forehead the word Kafir. And the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, everyone will be able to read it, whether he is literate or illiterate. The hadith about a Dajjal is authentic. And as such, it is an obligation upon us to believe in it. There is not a sickness, the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, except that Allah Azza wa Jal has sent down the medicine for it, the cure for it. Every sickness that Allah sent down, He has sent to accompany it, the medication, the cure. So the sickness in this case is a Dajjal. And the cure for a Dajjal is Isa ibn Maryam. Salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi wa ala nabiyyina kadhalik. Ad-Dajjal is the sickness and Isa is the cure. The Shaykh said concerning this particular issue that Isa ibn Maryam, he's going to come down. And he will come down by the masjid of Ad-Damashq. There is a masjid in Syria, Damashq. That's where Isa is going to come. And he's going to come down at the white minaret at that place. And it is at the masjid Al-Umawi. Brothers, pay attention to this. Because the Shaykh emphasizes. Isa ibn Maryam is the cure for Ad-Dajjal. And he's going to come down. And Damascus. And he's going to come down at the white pillar there, the minaret there. At the masjid of the Umawi, the Umayyad masjid over there. The Shaykh said, this is from the clear sign of the prophecy of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because when he told about all of these details, none of these things had been built up at that time. There was no masjid Umawi, there was no white minaret, there was nothing, none of this was even existed at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they came into existence after he was dead sallallahu alaihi wasallam, after Allah took him off of the earth, they came into existence, and it's going to happen just as it was mentioned. Sham, Damascus had not been conquered at that point. The masjid had not been built at that point when the Prophet told the people about this issue. So we're going to come back to this point. The Malaika, they are going to come down with Isa ibn Maryam from the sky. And when they come down, they're going to come down so that he can get the istifa, so that he can complete his life that he didn't complete when he was taken up. He will come down at a place called the door of Al-Lud. The door of Al-Lud. This is the place where there is a place that is peculiar to the Jews, the Yahud, the Jews. And Isa ibn Maryam, salawatullahi wa salamuhu alayhi wa ala nabiyyina, he will kill the Dajjal, as it has been told to us in the authentic narration of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. All of these affairs, when the Muslim hears about it, it does nothing but increases him in iman. And his belief in these issues that he's being told about, it is not predicated upon the thing happening. When Isa comes down, that's when we'll believe in him. When we see Ya'juj and Ma'juj, that's when we believe him. The Shaykh said, no. Whether the thing happens or doesn't happen, our iman already has to be established concerning it. Just as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us about the details of a Dajjal and Isa ibn Maryam coming this place and that place, and the things weren't even built at that time, and then they came into existence later. When we hear about these things, they cause our iman to increase. This should be the case for all of the issues as they relate to the affairs that the Prophet told us about sallallahu alaihi wasallam from the unseen. He said, and this is what we want to present today, and this is our affair, and our last da'wah is all praises are due to Allah, the Lord of all the world. Concerning the questions for this particular class, we're going to save the questions for a time of the Shaykh said, inshaAllah.
Shaykh Muhammad Musa Nusra wasal.
Ma wasal. Did the Shaykh come?
So we're going to ask the Shaykh some of the questions right here, so that we can get some benefit from the time. The first question that we want to ask the Shaykh is, it was said that Al-Imam Al-Bukhari rahimahullahu ta'ala was from the Lafziyya, that he was asked about the Quran being created or not created, and then he said that my recitation of the Quran is created. Is this authentic, and how do we understand it?
الجواب على هذا السؤال أنه لا يصح أن الإمام البخاري رحمه الله من اللفظية، وما يروى من ذلك فليس بثابت، وسواء صح أو لم يصح هذا لا يؤثر في الأمر شيئا. فالإمام البخاري رحمه الله كان رجلا من حملة لواء هذه الدعوة المباركة، ولذلك كان محسودا، فكان ينسب إليه ما لا يقوله، وكان يشاع عنه ما ليس بصحيح، كما هو الحال في عصرنا تماما. يحاولون التنفير عن أئمة هذه الدعوة بأي شيء، فينسبون إليهم أمورا ثم ينفرون عنهم بها، وهذه الأمور قد تكون غير صحيحة بالكلية، وقد تكون هذه الأمور لها أصول لكنها تحرف. فهذا هو الجواب الذي عندي، وكما قلنا مرارا وتكرارا، نحن أهل حق، أخطأ العالم أو أصاب فنحن لا نتابع العالم على خطئه مهما كان، ولو كان هذا العالم أبا بكر وعمر رضي الله عنهما، فكيف بغيرهما؟ فلا ندعي عصمة لأحد في هذه الأمة بعد نبينا صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. العصمة ليست إلا لرسول الله صلوات الله وسلامه عليه، أما من سواه فليسوا بمعصومين. لا أبو بكر رضي الله عنه معصوم، ولا عمر رضي الله عنه معصوم، ولا أحد في هذه الأمة معصوم. إنما العصمة لمجموع الصحابة ليست لأحدهم، العصمة للمجموع وليست للأحد، والله تعالى أعلى وأعلم.
The Shaykh said concerning this particular issue that it is not authentic what has been attributed to Al-Imam Al-Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala concerning this particular affair. What has been mentioned or narrated that he said that and he took that position, it is not authentic. And even if it was and is authentic, it doesn't change or affect the issue one bit. because Imam al-Bukhari was one of the carriers of this blessed dawah, and he was one of the people who were foremost in sacrificing for this dawah. But we know because of his position, he was a man who was mahsood. They were people who had hasad. They were envious, jealous of Imam al-Bukhari. And as such, they attributed a lot of things to him that are not authenticated, that are not authentically attributed to him. Like what we have today, many of the people say about the people of the dawah different things, especially about the ulama, in order to cause people to run away and to reject and to get away, the tanfir of the people of the dawah. They say it with haq and they say it with batil. He said, like in this case or any other case, the particular mistake may have an origin. It may. He said it's not authentic about al-Bukhari, but he's making a point. Something may be, it has some level and some aspect of truth of what they're saying about this particular person, this particular scholar. So what the people do is they take that aspect of truth and they change it and they flip it all around. They make it something that it's really not, in an attempt to make the tanfir, to make the people leave that particular scholar or that person. So the sheikh said, we are the people of the haq. We are the ahl al-haq. And with that being the case, we do not follow scholars, whether they get it right or we get it wrong. We don't follow them just for the sake of following them. If a scholar gets it wrong, we don't follow him. We are with the truth. If he gets it wrong, we don't follow the scholar, even if the scholar happens to be Abu Bakr or Umar radiallahu anhu. Even if it's Abu Bakr and Umar, if they get it wrong, we don't follow them in that particular thing. But what we follow is the truth. We follow the truth. And he said that only the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was ma'soom, the isma, or he was infallible. He didn't make mistakes. So if we don't follow Abu Bakr and Umar, then what about the people who are less than them? As it relates to this isma, the companions as a group, radiallahu anhum ajma'een, as a group they are infallible. But as individuals, they make mistakes. They get it right, they get it wrong. But as a group, we say that they are infallible. Doesn't mean that Isa ibn Maryam will come back to marry and have children.
الجواب لم يرد في النصوص شيء من ذلك لا نفيا ولا إثباتا وهذا لا يؤثر في شيء يعني لا يترتب عليه شيء من الحق في ديننا فسواء تزوج أو لم يتزوج رزق بأولاد أو لم يرزق بأولاد هذا لا يؤثر في ديننا بشيء لكن على كل لم يرد في النصوص شيء من ذلك فلا يعني ندخل في أمر ما عندنا فيه علم ولا تقف ما ليس لك به علم.
The Sheikh said concerning this particular issue, this has not been authentically established. Isa ibn Maryam coming back and getting married and having children, it has not been authentically established that he's going to do it, nor has it been authentically established that he's not going to do it. And in either case, whether he comes back and he gets married and has children, or he comes back and he doesn't get married and doesn't have children, it doesn't have anything to do with the religion and the belief and all of these affairs. It doesn't change the nature of what we have to believe and what we have discussed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us in the Quran, and do not stop and do not say or deal in those things that you have no knowledge about. So this thing has not been proven that it's going to happen, nor has it been proven that it's not, has it been, nor has it been negated. Here are some questions from the sisters. Please, would you give us an example of Allah's, of ayat with multiple meanings that the lafziyya bring to change Allah's sifat? هي تطلب منك الشيخ ان تأتي لها بأمثلة على أمثلة على كيف اللفظية يعني تحرف الآيات آيات الصفات هكذا حددا. Please can you give us an example of Allah of ayat with multiple meanings, الآيات التي لها عدة معاني يعني ممكن لا تقصد اللفظية ولكن هل هناك آيات تحمل عدة معاني قد يأتي المبتدئ يحرفها هكذا.
السائلة كأنها يعني ما فهمت المراد، لأن كلامنا على اللفظية كلمة لفظية لم تدد لا في الكتاب ولا في السنة، إنما نحن نقصد أنهم جاءوا بكلمة لفظي حتى يخرجوا من القول بأن القرآن كلام الله غير مخلوق، فأتوا بكلمة لفظ التي هي ليست ككلمة قراءة وليست كذلك الوضوح القرآن كلام الله غير مخلوق، فأتوا بكلمة لفظ التي هي كلمة مجملة تدل تحتمل أنها يراد بها القراءة، وتحتمل أنها يراد بها العبارة، فيحتمل أنها يراد بها نفس الكلام، كل هذا يحتمل، كلمة لفظ تحتمل أنها الكلام، تحتمل أنها النطق، تحتمل أنها القراءة، وبالتالي أدخلوا الناس في متاهة بحيث لا يستطيع أحد أن يعرف ما مرادهم. لكن أهل الحديث والسنة قالوا لابد من الوضوح، القرآن كلام الله وليس بمخلوق، وأما قولهم لفظي بالقرآن مخلوق فهو كلام باطل، وليس هو كقول أهل السنة إن القراءة فعل العبد، ففرق بين القراءة وبين اللفظ، فتصرفهم ليس في القرآن نفسه إنما هو في إتيانهم بكلمة مجملة، فقلنا إن عادة أهل البدع الإتيان بالكلام المجمل من عند أنفسهم ليس من القرآن الكريم. أما موضوع تحريف الصفات فهذا موضوع آخر، وهذه فرقة أخرى، وإن كان المعتزلة لهم يعني كلام في هذا، والأشاعرة من بعدهم والماتريدية يحرفون الكلمة عن مواضعه، فمثلا يقولون يد الله قدرته، ووجه الله رحمته، ومجيء الله مجيء أمره، وهكذا. هذا هو مثال لتدخل أهل البدع في تحريف صفات الله سبحانه وتعالى، والله تعالى أعلى وأعلم.
The Sheikh said that it seems and it appears that the sister misunderstood the point. These people, al-Labdiyah, it's not that they came to the Quran and they took a particular ayat or something like that, and as a result of that they're called al-Labdiyah, but they're called, these people are called al-Labdiyah because of the actual action that they are guilty of doing, and that is that they say my love, my pronunciation, my words of the Quran are created. The Sheikh said this is the reason why they were called that, not because they actually came to the Quran and they took this ayat or they took that ayat. No, when they were approached and concerning this issue, if they were to be asked what do you believe, they say that they understand and they believe in that the Quran, they wouldn't say it's the words of Allah, but they'll say my recitation, my love of the Quran is what is created. So the Sheikh said, so now what the issue is that they came with a statement, my love with the Quran. This statement has multiple meanings. If you say my love with the Quran, what are you talking about? Are you talking about your nutq, the way you pronunciate the word that's created? It could mean that. Love can be the nutq, the way you pronounce it. It can also mean your recitation of the Quran. Are you talking about the recitation? What are you talking about? It can be multiple things. It's not clear. Whereas Ahlul Sunnah, they are very clear in what they're saying. They're saying that the speech of the Quran is the speech of Allah and it is not created. He went on to say that their statement that the love of the Quran is created is not the same statement of Ahlul Sunnah when they say that the recitation of the Quran is the action of the servant. They're two different things. Ahlul Sunnah say when the person reads the Quran, his recitation is from his actions, from his action. But what he's reading is the speech of Allah, is the words of Allah. Where those people say that my love of the Quran is great, but what are you talking about? It could be all of these things. He says, as for the other people, whether they're the Mu'tazila and the Asha'ira who came after them, or the Maturidiya, some of the sifat that they mess around with from the ayat of the Quran is the hand of Allah. They'll say that the hand of Allah is the power, the qudra, the ability of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The face of Allah is His pleasure. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala coming, yawm al-qiyamah, they say that the meaning of that is that not Allah is going to come, but the affair of Allah, the command of Allah. So he wanted the sister to understand that they are not called lafziyah because of an ayat in the Quran, but because of their motif or their position. And Allah Ta'ala knows best.
بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبع هداه
وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فيقول الإمام أحمد رحمه الله تعالى في كتابه شرح السنة: والإيمان قول وعمل يزيد وينقص كما جاء في الخبر: أكمل المؤمنين إيمانا أحسنهم خلقا، ومن ترك الصلاة فقد كفر. وليس من الأعمال شيء تركه كفر إلا الصلاة، من تركها فهو كافر، وقد أحل الله قتله. وخير هذه الأمة بعد نبيها صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم أبو بكر الصديق، ثم عمر بن الخطاب، ثم عثمان بن عفان. نقدم هؤلاء الثلاثة كما قدمهم أصحاب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم، لم يختلفوا في ذلك. ثم بعد هؤلاء الثلاثة أصحاب الشورى الخمسة: علي بن أبي طالب، وطلحة، والزبير، وعبد الرحمن بن عوف، وسعد، كلهم يصلح للخلافة، وكلهم إمام. ونذهب في ذلك إلى حديث ابن عمر: كنا نعد ورسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم حي، وأصحابه متوافرون، أبو بكر ثم عمر ثم عثمان ثم نسكت، ثم من بعد أصحاب الشورى أهل بدر من المهاجرين، ثم أهل بدر من الأنصار من أصحاب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم على قدر الهجرة والسابقة أولا فأولا. ثم أفضل الناس بعد هؤلاء أصحاب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم القرن الذي بعث فيهم كل من صحبه سنة أو شهرا أو يوما أو ساعة أو رآه فهو من أصحابه، له من الصحبة على قدر ما صحبه، وكانت سابقته معه وسمع منه ونظر إليه نظرة، فأدناهم صحبة هو أفضل من القرن الذين لم يروه ولو لقوا الله بجميع الأعمال. كان هؤلاء الذين صحبوا النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم ورأوه وسمعوا منه، ومن رآه بعينه وآمن به ولو ساعة أفضل لصحبته من التابعين ولو عملوا كل أعمال الخير. والسمع والطاعة للأئمة وأمير المؤمنين البر والفاجر، ومن ولي الخلافة واجتمع الناس عليه ورضوا به، ومن عليهم بالسيف حتى صار خليفة وسمي أمير المؤمنين. والغزو ماض مع الأمراء إلى يوم القيامة البر والفاجر لا يترك، وقسمة الفيء وإقامة الحدود إلى الأئمة ماض، ليس لأحد أن يطعن عليهم ولا ينازعهم، ودفع الصدقات إليهم جائزة نافذة، من دفعها إليهم أجزأت عنه برا كان أو فاجرا. وصلاة الجمعة خلفه وخلف من ولاه جائزة باقية تامة ركعتين، من أعادهما فهو مبتدع تارك للآثار مخالف للسنة، ليس له من فضل الجمعة شيء إذا لم يرى الصلاة خلف الأئمة من كانوا برهم وفاجرهم. فالسنة أن يصلي معهم ركعتين ويدين بأنها تامة، لا يكن في صدرك من ذلك شك. ومن خرج على إمام من أئمة المسلمين وقد كان الناس اجتمعوا عليه وأقروا له بالخلافة بأي وجه كان، بالرضا أو بالغلبة، فقد شق هذا الخارج عصى المسلمين وخالف الآثار عن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. فإن مات الخارج عليه مات ميتة جاهلية. هذا موقفنا إن شاء الله في درس اليوم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، والحمد لله رب العالمين، وأصلي وأسلم على نبينا الأمين وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. الشيخ إخوان began reading from point number 36 in the English translation. And if you were to compare the book that he's reading from and what has been translated in English, there are many subtle differences. So for those who want to know, as Mikael asked today, the Sheikh is reading from the book that is the Riwaya of Abdus Ibn Malik Al-Attar, and the Sharh and the Tahqiq is by Walid Ibn Muhammad Saif Al-Nasr. It has the taqdeem and the ta'liq by Sheikh Muhammad Eid Al-Abbasi. May Allah Ta'ala preserve him. So point number 36 to point number 52. And from the fundamentals of the Sunnah. And that faith consists of both speech and action. And this is point number 37. And that faith consists of both speech and action. It increases and decreases as has been reported in the narration. The most complete of the believers with respect to faith is the best of them in his manners. And whoever abandons the prayer, then he has disbelieved. There is nothing from amongst the actions, the abandonment of which constitutes disbelief except for the prayer. Whoever abandons it is a disbeliever, and Allah has made killing him permissible. And the best of this ummah after his Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam is Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, and then Umar ibn al-Khattab, and then Uthman ibn Affan radiyallahu anhum ajma'in. And we give precedence to those three, just as the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave precedence to them. They, the companions, never differed in that point. Then after those three, the precedence is given to the five companions of the Shura. And they are Ali ibn Abi Talib, Az-Zubair, Talha, Abdurrahman ibn Auf, and Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, radiyallahu anhu. Each of them was fitting and appropriate for the Khilafah. And each of them was an imam or a leader. In this regard, we take the hadith of Ibn Umar radiyallahu anhuma. He said that the Prophet, they said, we used to consider while the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was alive and his companions widespread, we used to consider Abu Bakr to be first, then Umar, then Uthman, and then we remained quiet. Then after the five companions of the Shura are the people who fought in the battle of Badr from amongst the Muhajireen, and then those who fought in Badr from amongst the Ansar and from amongst the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Each one's rank is according to his migration and precedence in the religion. than the most superior of mankind after these, the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the generation in which he was sent. Everyone who accompanied him, whether for a year, a month, a day, or even an hour, or he just merely saw him, then he is from amongst his companions. His companionship is according to the extent to which he accompanied him, and to the extent to which he had precedence in being with him, heard from him, and looked at him, salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi. So the closest of them in companionship to him are more excellent than the generation which did not see him, even if they met Allah with all the good actions. Despite that, those who accompanied the Prophet salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi saw him and heard from him are superior. And whoever saw him with his eyes and believed in him, even if for an hour, is more excellent on account of his companionship with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam than the tabi'een, even if the tabi'een did every action of goodness. And from the fundamentals of the sunnah, hearing and obeying the leader and the amirul mu'mineen, whether righteous or sinful, from amongst those who came into power with the khilafah and with respect to him, to whom the people have agreed and united themselves and are pleased with, and also hearing and obeying the one who fought against the people with the sword, i.e. he conquered them, the leader who conquered the people by fighting them, and he came into power as a result of the sword until he became the Khalifa and was named the Amirul Mu'mineen. Participation in battles along with the leader, be they righteous or sinful, is an everlasting affair, i.e. always operative until the day of judgment. It is never to be abandoned. Likewise, the division of the spoils of war and appointing the ruler to establish the prescribed punishments or the hudud are both everlasting. It is not permissible for anyone to rebuke them or to contend with them, meaning the ruler. Also, handing over the charity to them is permissible, and it is always operative and in effect. Whoever gives the charity to them, then that will suffice him, i.e. his obligation will have been fulfilled, whether the leader is righteous or sinful. And performing the Jum'ah prayer behind him, the ruler, and behind whomever he appoints, is a permissible and perfect act and consists of 2 rak'ahs. Whoever repeats them after praying behind him is an innovator. He is an innovator, one who abandons the narrations and an oppressor and an opposer of the sunnah, yarhamakum. He receives nothing of reward from the excellence of his attendance of the Jum'ah prayer if he does not accept and hold that prayer is to be observed behind the leader, whomever they may be, the righteous amongst them and the sinful amongst them. So the sunnah is that he prays 2 rak'ahs with them. Whoever repeats them is an innovator, and that he acknowledges that they are perfect and complete, not having any doubt in his heart regarding that. And whoever revolts against a leader from amongst the leaders of the Muslims, after the people had agreed upon him and united themselves behind him, after they had affirmed the khilafah for him, in whatever way this khilafah may have been, by their pleasure and acceptance, or by his force and domination over them, then this revolter has disobeyed the Muslims and has contradicted the narrations of the Messenger of Allah salawatullahi wa salamuhu alayhi. And if the one who revolted against the ruler died, he would have died the death of the times of ignorance. This is the point where we will stop today. And now the Shaykh inshaAllah ta'ala will proceed to explain what was read.
ويمكننا تقسيم ما قرأناه في درس اليوم إلى 3 مسائل. المسألة الأولى مسألة الإيمان، والمسألة الثانية مسألة تفضيل الصحابة، والمسألة الثالثة مسألة الأئمة. فهذه 3 مسائل أو موضوعات يمكن إن شاء الله أن تكون هي رؤوس المواضيع التي سنتكلم فيها إن شاء الله تعالى. أول المسائل هي مسألة الإيمان، وأنه قول وعمل يزيد وينقص، وأن الصحابة رضي الله عنهم ما كانوا يرون شيئا من الأعمال تركه كفر إلا الصلاة، ومن تركها فهو كافر وقد أحل الله قتله. المسألة مسألة الإيمان من أعظم المسائل التي خالف أهل الحديث والسنة فيها بقية الفرق، فلا توجد فرقة من الفرق توافق أهل السنة على هذا التعريف للإيمان أنه قول وعمل يزيد وينقص. حتى من قال كالخوارج والمعتزلة إنه قول وعمل لا يوافقون أهل الحديث والسنة على أنه يزيد وينقص. لذلك من قال إن الإيمان قول وعمل يزيد وينقص فقد خرج من كل البدع في هذه المسألة، خرج من بدعة الخوارج والمعتزلة، لأنهم لا يقولون بزيادة الإيمان ولا بنقصانه، وخرج من بدعة الإرجاء والتجهم، لأن المرجئة والجهمية لا يدخلون الأعمال في مسمى الإيمان. والكل كل هذه الفرق المنحرفة اتفقت على أن الإيمان شيء واحد لا يزيد ولا ينقص، بل إما أن يوجد وإما أن يفقد.
The Sheikh Ikhwan, he went on to begin by saying, what we can do here is, after reading all that was read, we can take everything that was read and we can divide them into three different issues that were discussed and that are going to be dealt with. The first issue is the issue of al-iman, faith. The second issue is the issue of the tafdeel of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, their superiority, and who comes first and second and third in terms of order. The tafdeel, not just their superiority in the religion, but what are their places, what is the order of superiority that they have as individuals or as a group. And the third issue is the issue of the leader of the Muslims. He said these are the three subjects or the three topics that we can consider to be the head and the most important issues that have been discussed in what was read. Concerning the first issue, the issue of al-iman. Al-iman is having statements and actions. It consists of statements and actions. And it increases and it decreases. And the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa ala alihi wasallam, they did not see the leaving off of any action as kufr, with the exception of the prayer. And whoever leaves off the prayer, he has become a kafir, and it is permissible to kill him. The Sheikh said that this particular issue is from the greatest issues that the deviant groups have gone against and opposed the true Ahlul Sunnah. And you will not find any group of deviants except that they opposed Ahlul Sunnah in this particular issue. All of the Tawa'if and all of the groups, all of them are united in opposing Ahlul Sunnah in the issue of Al-Iman. The Khawarij and the Mu'tazila. they agree with Ahlul Sunnah that Iman is statements and actions, but they do not believe that Al-Iman increases and it decreases. So therefore, anyone who believes that Al-Iman is statements and actions, it increases and it decreases, he has left this person, he has left the positions of all of the varying groups, and he is on the issue of correctness, because all of the other groups disagree with Ahlul Sunnah in this particular mas'ala. Those other groups, many of them, like the two that were just mentioned, there is an ittifaq. They do agree with Ahlul Sunnah that Al-Iman is statements and actions. But they believe that Al-Iman is one thing. It is either present or it's not present. That it does not increase. It's one thing. It can go up, nor can it go down or decrease as a result of it being only one thing. Either it is all there or it's all gone.
أزيد الأمر وضوحا بأن أقول كل الفرق المبتدعة حتى الجهمية والمرجئة اتفقوا على أن الإيمان شيء واحد، الجهمية والمرجئة في طرف، والخوارج والمعتزلة في الطرف الآخر، اتفقوا جميعا على أن الإيمان شيء واحد، إما أن يوجد وإما أن يفقد. فلا يقول أحد من هذه الفرق كما يقول أهل الحديث والسنة بزيادة الإيمان ونقصانه، وإن اختلفوا في تعريف الإيمان، فالجهمية يقولون هو التصديق فقط، بل بعضهم يقول هو العلم، بعضهم يقول هو العلم بالله فقط، هذا هو الإيمان عندهم. والمرجئة يقولون كالجهمية إنه التصديق فقط، وبعضهم قد يدخل فيه بعض أعمال الجوارح، معذرة، وبعضهم قد يدخل فيه بعض أعمال القلوب، أو يدخل فيه أعمال القلوب. أما أعمال الجوارح فقد اتفق المرجئة كلهم وغلاتهم وهم الجهمية على أن أعمال الجوارح ليست داخلة في مسمى الإيمان. أما الخوارج والمعتزلة فأدخلوا الأعمال في مسمى الإيمان، لكنهم جعلوا الإيمان شيئا واحدا، إما أن يوجد وإما أن يفقد، لا يتصورون أنه يتبعض أو يتجزأ أو يزيد أو ينقص. إذن لا يوجد أحد من الفرق يقول بقول أهل الحديث والسنة، ولذلك صدق من قال من أهل العلم من قال الإيمان قول وعمل يزيد وينقص فقد خرج من الإرجاء كله صغيره وكبيره، أو فقد برئ من الإرجاء كله. وأنا أزيد وأقول من قال الإيمان قول وعمل يزيد وينقص فقد برئ من كل البدع في مسألة الإيمان، من بدعة الخوارج والمعتزلة لأنهم لا يقولون بزيادته ولا نقصانه، ومن بدعة المرجئة والجهمية لأنهم لا يقولون أيضا بزيادته ولا نقصانه، بل ولا يدخلون العمل في مسمى الإيمان. اتفقوا على إخراج أعمال الجوارح من مسمى الإيمان، ثم اختلفوا في أعمال القلوب. أما أهل الحديث والسنة فقولهم الإيمان قول وعمل يزيد وينقص، والقول عندهم يشمل قول القلب وقول اللسان، والعمل عندهم يشمل عمل القلب وعمل الجوارح. ولم يختلف أهل الحديث والسنة في شيء من أعمال الجوارح إلا الصلاة وبقية المباني أركان الإسلام، أي المباني الأربعة: الصلاة والزكاة والصيام والحج. فمن كفر بترك واحدة من هذه المباني فإنه لا يزال من أهل الحديث والسنة وليس من الخوارج، لأن هذا قول لبعض أهل العلم من أهل الحديث والسنة. وأما الفريق الآخر من أهل الحديث والسنة فيفصلون في هذه المباني، لا يكفرون بتركها مطلقا بل يفصلون. والقول الذي اشتهر واستقر عليه الخلاف هو معذرة، والخلاف الذي اشتهر إنما هو الخلاف في ترك الصلاة. فمن أهل الحديث والسنة من يكفر تارك الصلاة بإطلاق كما سمعتم في كلام الإمام أحمد، وهو أحد قوليه، فله قولان مشهوران في المسألة. القول الأول هو هذا، أن تارك الصلاة كافر خارج من ملة الإسلام بمجرد تركها، وقد أحل الله قتله، وطبعا قتله إنما يكون للأمير والوالي، ليس لكل إنسان أن يقتل تارك الصلاة، هذا يكون لولاة الأمور فقط. والقول الثاني المشهور للإمام أحمد، وهو قول جمهور أهل الحديث والسنة، أن تارك الصلاة يفصل فيه، فإن كان قد تركها جاحدا لوجوبها أو غير ملتزم لأدائها فهذا هو الذي يكفر كفرا أكبر. أما إن كان قد تركها تكاسلا وتهاونا وقد أقر بوجوبها والتزم الأداء فهذا ليس كافرا الكفر الأكبر، بل كفره كفر عمل لا كفر اعتقاد، وهو كافر لكن ليس كفرا مخرجا من ملة الإسلام. وبه تعلم أن ترك الصلاة من أكبر الكبائر، بل إن ترك الصلاة أعظم من الزنا وشرب الخمر، وأعظم من السرقة والربا، ترك الصلاة أعظم من هذا كله، لأن ذنبا قد سماه الله أو رسوله كفرا هو أكبر من ذنب لم يسمه كذلك، وإن كان من أكبر الكبائر. فالزنا من أكبر الكبائر، وشرب الخمر من أكبر الكبائر، والسرقة من أكبر الكبائر، والربا من أكبر الكبائر، وعقوق الوالدين من أكبر الكبائر، وهكذا. ولكن ترك الصلاة أعظم من هذا كله، لهذا ما يقوله كثير من عامة المسلمين من أنهم لا يصلون لكنهم طيبون، فهم لا يزنون ولا يسرقون، هذا قول باطل مردود عليهم. فهم يتصورون أن الزنا وشرب الخمر والسرقة أعظم من ترك الصلاة، فيقول أحدهم: أنا صحيح لا أصلي لكني طيب، لا أزني ولا أشرب الخمر ولا أسرق. هو يتصور أن هذه الذنوب أعظم من ترك الصلاة، ولا يتصور أن ترك الصلاة أعظم من كل ما ذكر. فهذا الزاني الذي يصلي أفضل من تارك الصلاة الذي لا يزني، السارق الذي يصلي أفضل من تارك الصلاة الذي لا يسرق، شارب الخمر الذي يصلي أفضل من تارك الصلاة الذي لا يشرب الخمر. هذا هو الميزان الشرعي، ذنب سماه الله كفرا أو سماه رسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم كفرا حتى وإن كان الكفر لا يخرج من الملة، هو أعظم من ذنب لم يطلق عليه ذلك اللفظ الشنيع الفظيع، وهو لفظ الكفر. وبه تعلم أن الكفر كفران: كفر أكبر وكفر أصغر، وهذا أمر متفق عليه بين أهل الحديث والسنة. إنما الخلاف في تارك الصلاة، هل كفره كذلك أم كفره كذلك؟ إذن اتفق أهل الحديث والسنة على أن الكفر كفران، بل وعلى أن الظلم ظلمان، وعلى أن الفسق فسقان، وعلى أن الجاهلية جاهليتان، وعلى أن المعصية معصيتان. كل واحد من هذه الألفاظ ينقسم إلى أكبر وإلى أصغر، قد يطلق ويراد به المخرج من الملة، وقد يطلق ويراد به الذي هو دون ذلك. وقد دلت نصوص الكتاب والسنة على هذا التفصيل، وهو قول الصحابة، ومن قال في المسألة بغير هذا التفصيل فهو لم يفهم كلام الصحابة رضي الله عنهم.
The Shaykh أحسن الله إليه, he went on to say, Ikhwan, that I want to increase clarity in this particular issue, the issue of al-Iman and it being the statements and the actions and it increasing and decreasing. We have on the one hand the Murji'a, the people of Irja, and next to them in the same line, in the same saf, we have the Jahmiya. They are on the same thing. And then the next line, in the next saf, in the next rank, we have the Khawarij and the Mu'tazila. They are of the opinion that Al-Iman is one thing. Either it is present or it's not there. It doesn't go up and it doesn't go down. They do not say that Al-Iman increases or Iman decreases. They have some ikhtilaf between themselves in the meaning of Al-Iman as well. For an example, the Jahmiyyah, they say that the meaning of Al-Iman is that it is a tasdeeq only. Some of the Jahmiyyah, they say that Al-Iman, the meaning of faith is a tasdeeq, to believe. And some of the Jahmiyyah say that al-Iman is to have knowledge of Allah. If you have knowledge of Allah, then you have Iman. The Murji'a, on the other hand, they say that al-Iman is at-tasdiq, to believe. And some of them, they enter into al-Iman the actions of the heart. The actions of the heart. As for the actions of the limb, they say that it is not inside of al-Iman. This is the Murji'a. They say that al-Iman, the meaning of al-Iman is at-tasdiq. And some of them say that the action of the heart are part of Iman, those actions that your heart, that it does, this is from Iman. But the actions that are to be done with the limbs, this is not a part of Iman. So they are basically in the same saf, in the same rank. As for the Khawarij and the Mu'tazila, for they are similar. They say that the action that the person does is from al-Iman, but they say that Iman is one thing. It is not something that can be departmentalized. It cannot be broken up. It cannot be fragmented. Either it is all there or it's all gone. It does not increase, nor does it decrease. And the people from knowledge, the Ahlul Ilm, the people of Hadith, they have spoken the truth when they said, the person who says that al-Iman is statement and action, and that Iman goes up and it goes down, the Shaykh said, they have spoken the truth when they said, the one who gives this as the definition of al-Iman, he has exited and disconnected himself from the statement of the Murji'a and from all of the people who make the false claims of the definition or the meaning or the understanding of Al-Iman, the Shaykh said, I want to add on to this statement right here. Whoever says that Al-Iman is the statement consists of your statements and your actions, and it increases and it decreases, he has freed himself from the bid'ah, the innovation of all of the groups, whether they are the Khawarij and the Mu'tazila, who are in the same ranks as we explained already, or whether it's from the Murji'a or the Jahmiyyah, the people who see that Al-Iman does not increase nor does it decrease, but it is one and the same. As for Ahlul Hadith, Al-Iman, Ikhwan, is the statement and the action. It increases and it decreases. As for the statement, they see that it is the statement of the heart and the statement of the tongue. It's not just the statement of the heart like before. It is the statement of the heart and the tongue. And as for the action, Al-Iman is statements and actions. The Anil Hadith, the meaning of actions, it is the action of the heart and the action of the limb. Is that understood, Ikhwan? Ahlul Sunnah, Ahlul Hadith, their belief of Al-Iman is that it is the statement and the action, and it increases and it decreases. What is the meaning that Al-Iman is the statement? They understand it as the statement of the heart and the statement of the tongue. And Al-Iman is action. What do they mean by its actions? It is the actions of the heart and the action of the limb. All of that is Iman. And Ahlul Hadith, Ahlul Sunnah, they did not have any ikhtilaf in this issue as it relates to the actions, with the exception of the ikhtilaf or the difference that they had as it relates to the prayer. The prayer being a proof of a person's iman and the leaving of the prayer. And in addition to that, the other three pillars of al-Islam, the pillars of action. So we have four pillars of action that there is ikhtilaf between the Ahlul Hadith, Ahlul Sunnah, concerning the leaving of it, the salah, the zakat, the fasting, and the hajj. So when you find someone from Ahlul Sunnah, someone from Ahlul Hadith, passing the judgment and ruling of kufr upon a person because he left off the prayer or one of these other pillars, he is still from Ahlul Hadith. And this is the statement of the people of Ahlul Hadith. Some of the people for Ahlul Hadith, Ikhwan, if a person leaves off Salah, if he leaves off Zakat, if he leaves off the fast, and if he leaves off the Hajj, they say he's a non-Muslim, just like that, because this is from the Iman, he left it off, he's a non-Muslim. That's a statement to some from Ahlul Hadith. If the person makes that statement because of the text, that one is still from Ahlul Hadith, Ahlul Sunnah. If a Muslim leaves off one of these pillars, he's a non-Muslim, because this is an action of Iman that he left off. But there are other people from Ahlul Hadith who explain and give details of the issue. They just don't say you're a kafir just like that because you left off one of the actions of Iman from the arkan of al-Islam that are four. The other group of Ahlul Hadith, they don't pass the judgment and ruling of kufr just like that. No, they explain and they give details. And an example of that in making it clear is the issue of salah. There are those who make the kufr or the takfir of the one who leaves off the salah, like Al-Imam Ahmed, as he mentioned in his book that we're reading. But for your information, Al-Imam Ahmed had two positions concerning this issue. Whether or not the leaver of the salah and the other issues is a kafir or not, he took two positions. Two positions have been authentically recorded and reported concerning him and his position. The first position is that he is a kafir and he goes outside of the religion of Al-Islam and his blood becomes permissible. He can be killed, as he mentioned in the book Usul Sunnah. The Shaykh went on to elaborate, he said, but his killing is to be executed and carried out by the Amir. Not any and everyone can stand up and kill a person because he left Salat, the Shaykh said. That's the position of Al-Imam Ahmed, the first position. The second position of Al-Imam Ahmed, and this is the position of the majority of the ulama, is that they do what? They give details. They explain. The second position concerning the one who leaves off the salah or any other of the arkan of Al-Islam, the second position is that they give details and an explanation before passing the ruling. What is the detail and the explanation? You should put two asterisks, inshallah. The first detailed explanation is, if the person left the prayer, rejecting it, disregarding it, the way that it's done, he doesn't believe in it, and he doesn't stick to it, then this person is a non-Muslim. As a result of his rejection of this particular action, which is from the actions of faith, the prayer in this instance. The second detail or explanation that they give is if the person leaves off the prayer, which is an action of al-Iman. Al-Iman to Ahl Sunnah is statement and action. It goes up and it decreases. The Shaykh explained that the statement are the statements of the heart and the tongue. And the actions are the actions of the heart and the limbs. So if al-Iman is statements and actions, Ahl al-Sunnah say if you leave off the prayer, which is an action, two opinions. One is you go outside of al-Islam. One of the statements of al-Imam Ahmed. And the second opinion is they give explained details. The first explanation is if he rejects it, he doesn't do it or sees that he has to do it a certain way, then he's a non-Muslim. The second detail is, if he leaves off this action, and he leaves it off as a result of being lax and lazy, as a result of being negligent, but he believes in it, and he knows that it is the truth, then he is not a kafir. But his action is an action of kufr. And it is the kufr of the action. Kufr amali. It is the actions of kufr. Because that's what the hadith said. So it's kufr amali. Action of kufr. And it's not the kufr i'tiqadi, the kufr of the ideology that will put him outside of al-Islam. Like the first one before this, in the detailed explanation. The Shaykh went on to elaborate on this most important point and to remind us. He said that the leaving of the prayer, ikhwan, is from the greatest of the kaba'ir. It is greater than consuming intoxicants, khamr. It is greater than making zina. It is greater than stealing. Because, why? Why? This is a good point. Why is leaving salat greater than these other things that were mentioned? He gave us a principle. He said, every sin that Allah or His Messenger, salawatullahi wasalamu alayhi, described as being kufr is from the greatest of the sins. And they are greater than the sins that have not been described as such. So zina is a great sin. It's from the kaba'ir. Drinking khamr is from the kaba'ir. Stealing is from the kaba'ir. Riba is from the kaba'ir. Being disobedient to one's parent, uququl walidain, is from the kaba'ir. But leaving off of the prayer is greater than all of that. And this helps us to understand that what many of the general Muslims say today is a statement that is not according to the truth when they say, well, okay, I don't pray, but I also see myself as being a good person because I don't make zina, I don't drink khamr, I don't steal. Yes, I don't pray, but I'm still a good person because I'm not doing these other crimes, these other sins. So it's as if the person sees a salah and leaving a salah as being lesser in degree and severity than not doing those other things. And he said, this is not the case. The one who makes zina and he prays is better than the one who doesn't make zina and he doesn't pray. The one who drinks khamr and he's praying is better than the one who doesn't pray and he doesn't drink khamr. The one who steals but he's praying is better than the one who doesn't steal and he doesn't pray. So based upon all of this, what we have mentioned, we come to the realization that the kufr is of two types. The first type of kufr is the major kufr, kufr akbar. And the second type of kufr is the minor kufr, kufr asghar. And the people of Ahlul Hadith are in agreement unanimously about this particular issue, that there are two types of kufr, and there are two types of oppression, zulm, and there are two types of fish, and there are two types of jahiliyyah. That there is kufr, akbar and asghar. Zulm, akbar and asghar. Fisq, akbar and asghar. Jahiliyyah, akbar and asghar. So you have to make this distinction. The one that is akbar in all of them, they take you outside of the religion of al-Islam. And the one that is asghar, a person can fall into one of these categories and it is asghar and he doesn't go outside of the religion of al-Islam, because this is what the texts have helped us to understand. And whoever says other than that in this mas'ala, in this particular issue, he has not understood the statements of the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
المسألة الثانية الصحابة. أولا تفضيل الصحابة مطلقا على من سواهم، ثم تفضيل الصحابة بعضهم على بعض، فالصحابة أفضل ممن جاء بعدهم، خير أمتي قرني ثم الذين يلونهم ثم الذين يلونهم، الصحابة أفضل ممن جاء بعدهم، والفاضل من الصحابة أفضل من الفاضل ممن جاء بعد الصحابة من التابعين أو أتباعهم أو من جاء بعدهم. ولذلك ورد عن بعض السلف أنه قال كلاما، يعني يمكن أن أقول الآن المعنى لا أذكر اللفظ بالضبط، وهذا قد يكون أيضا من تعبيري، شعرة في لحية معاوية رضي الله عنه خير من عمر بن عبد العزيز. عمر بن عبد العزيز
إمام عادل لكنه ليس صحابيا. ومعاوية رضي الله عنه إمام عادل ولكنه صحابي، فلا مقارنة بين عمر بن عبد العزيز وبين معاوية. كثير من الناس اليوم يعتقدون أن عمر بن عبد العزيز أفضل من معاوية رضي الله عنه، لا يفهمون لا يعرفون، وخاصة إذا تأثروا بدعاوى الشيعة والروافض الذين يسبون الصحابة. فالصحابي الذي اشتهر فضله وعرف ما له من الفضل لا شك أنه أفضل ممن جاء بعده من غير الصحابة. فتفضيل الصحابة جملة، أولا جيل الصحابة أفضل من كل الأجيال التي جاءت بعد الصحابة، قرن الصحابة أفضل من القرون التي جاءت بعدهم، هذا تفضيل جيل على جيل وقرن على قرن. ثم أحاد الصحابة كذلك، وبخاصة من كان من أئمتهم وعلمائهم وأعلامهم، فلا مقارنة بين الصحابة وبين من جاء بعدهم. فالصحابة أفضل القرون، خير أمة قرني، ثم الذين يلونهم ثم الذين يلونهم. فالصحابة هم أفضل هذه الأمة بعد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم، وأفضلهم كما سمعتم في كلام الإمام أحمد أبو بكر، ثم عمر، ثم عثمان، ثم علي، ثم سائر العشرة المبشرين بالجنة، أو كما ذكر الإمام أحمد أصحاب الشورى طلحة والزبير، عبد الرحمن بن عوف وسعد، وعاشر العشرة المبشرين هو سعيد بن زيد رضي الله عنهم أجمعين. ذكر أحمد رحمه الله أن كلهم يصلح للخلافة وأن كلهم إمام، وأن الصحابة بعد ذلك أفضلهم أهل بدر من المهاجرين، ثم أهل بدر من الأنصار، ثم بعد ذلك سائر الصحابة على قدر ما لهم من الهجرة وعلى قدر ما لهم من النصرة، ثم من صحب النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم سنة أو شهرا أو يوما أو ساعة أو رآه، وبعض أهل العلم يقول لقيه، لأن كلمة لقيه أعم من كلمة رآه، فإن اللقية أعم من الرؤية، فقد يلقاه ولا يراه، كبعض الصحابة الذين كانوا لا يبصرون كابن أم مكتوم وغيره، فإنهم لقوا النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وإن كانوا لم يروه، ما رأوه لأنهم لا يرون أصلا، لكنهم قد لقوه، فهؤلاء صحابة وإن لم يروه بعيني رؤوسهم. فكل من لقي النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم مسلما ومات على الإسلام فهو صحابي. والشاهد على كل حال أن هؤلاء الصحابة أفضل ممن جاء بعدهم. قد يشكل على بعض الناس هنا حديث، وهو أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ذكر إخوانه، فقيل له ألسنا إخوانك؟ قال أنتم أصحابي، أما إخواني فقوم يأتون بعدي ويؤمنون بي ولم يروني، أو بهذا المعنى. فذكر صلى الله عليه وسلم أن أجر الواحد منهم يعني يعدل أجر كذا وكذا منكم، فقالوا منا أم منهم؟ فقال بل منكم. فهنا قد يتصور بعض الناس بجهله، قد يتصور أن هذا الحديث يعني تفضيل هؤلاء على الصحابة، وهذا ليس بصحيح، إنما هذا أجر مخصوص في مسألة مخصوصة. فقد يضاعف أجر الإنسان في أمر ما، ولا يعني أنه أفضل مطلقا من كل الوجوه. فلا شك أن الذي يؤمن بالنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إيمانا جازما ولم يره أنه له أجر كبير يفوق أجر من رآه ممن آمن به، لكن هذا لا يعني أبدا أنه أفضل من الصحابة، فهو يضاعف له الأجر في هذا الموضوع فقط، لا يكون فاضلا من كل الوجوه. فالصحابة أفضل من كل الوجوه المجمل
في التفضيل هو في صالح الصحابة، ولذلك ورد في الحديث الصحيح: لا تسبوا أصحابي فوالذي نفسي بيده لو أنفق أحدكم مثل أحد ذهبا ما بلغ مد أحدهم ولا نصيفه. يعني لا تفكر أن تكون أفضل من الصحابة أبدا بحال من الأحوال، مهما فعلت ولو تصدقت بمثل جبل أحد ذهبا لا يمكن أن تفوق الصحابة. فالصحبة لها فضل عظيم، وإن كان الإنسان قد يفوق الصحابة في بعض المسائل لكن لا يفوقهم في المجموع. فهذا هو الجواب، والله المستعان وعليه التكلان.
The Sheikh, he went on to mention, Ikhwan, that we come now to the next issue, and it is the issue of the companions of the Prophet salawatullahi wa salamuhu alayhi. He said that this issue of the companions, first of all, it is two aspects that we want to deal with. The first part is A, the superiority of the companions over everyone else, and B, the superiority of the companions one over the other, that they have different ranks and different degrees. The companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they are the best of all of the people. The dalil of that is the statement of Allah azza wa jal, the best of my ummah
of Rasulullah.
No.
The statement of Rasulullah.
لم أسمعك.
The statement of Rasulullah.
أنا قلت لك.
The statement of Allah.
The statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the hadith, he said, the best of my ummah is my generation, and then the one that comes after it, and then the one that comes after it. So this shows that the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam wa radiyallahu anhum ajma'in, they are the best of all of the people. They are better than the tabi'een who came after them, and then the generation that came after them. And it has been narrated that some of the salaf used to say, and what is the meaning of their statement, and it is possible that this could be my statement. The important thing is that it is said that one strand of hair from the lihya of Muawiyah radiyallahu anhu, one strand of hair from the lihya of Muawiyah radiyallahu anhu is better than all of Umar ibn Abdul Aziz rahimahullahu ta'ala. Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, may Allah ta'ala have mercy upon him, was an imam who was just, but he wasn't from the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Whereas Muawiyah radiallahu anhu, he was an imam and he was just, and he was from the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa ala alihi wasallam. So therefore Muawiyah is better than Umar ibn Abdul Aziz by virtue of the fact he was from the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And there is no comparison between the two. We see that some people have been affected where they give superiority of position to Umar ibn Abdul Aziz over Muawiyah. Some people take this position, especially those people who have been affected by the call of the Shiite, who criticize the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But this is not acceptable, and there is no comparison between his companions and anyone who came after them. So this hadith, Ikhwan, it shows us that the generation of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they are better than all of the other generations. And then we come to the second issue, and that is there are individual companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam who have special characteristics and special virtues. Those of them who are imams, those of them who are ulama,
those of them who have special, given special, they've been given special signs. They are the best after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In the very beginning, the best of them is as Al-Imam Ahmed has put forth. Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, and Ali radiallahu anhum. And then the Shaykh mentioned the 10 people who are promised paradise. And he referred back to what Al-Imam Ahmed said. And he mentioned Talha and Zubair and Abdurrahman ibn Awf and Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas and Sa'id ibn Zayd. And it is as Al-Imam Ahmed said, all of them were competent enough and qualified enough to be the Khalifa. All of them could have taken the Khilafah and been the men for the job. After them, the best in superiority are the people who participated in the Battle of Badr from the Muhajireen. And then the people who participated in the Battle of Badr from the Ansar. And then after that, the one from amongst them who was foremost in his hijrah. He made hijrah before Abu. And the one who assisted Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam at the beginning. And then the one who was his companion and he was with him for a year. And then the one who was with him for a month. The one who was with him for a day. The one who was with him for an hour. According to his efforts and what he put forth. Some of the ulama say that the one who met the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam, or the one who saw him. But to see him, or the one who met him, this is more general. This is more general than the one who saw him. Because you have some companions of the Messenger of Allah, as you all know, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who didn't have the opportunity to see the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, like Ibn Maktum radiallahu anhu. As a result of him suffering from blindness, he never had an opportunity to see the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but he met him. So whoever met the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, believed in him and then died with that iman, he is a companion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa ala alihi wasallam. Whoever met him, believed in him, and died with that iman is a companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now, there may come some ishkal, some problem in understanding a particular issue as it relates to the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And that is the hadith in which the Prophet said sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he praised his brothers who are to come. He was praising his brothers who were to come. His companion said to him, Ya Rasulullah, aren't we your brothers? Rasulullah said sallallahu alaihi wasallam to them, no, you are my companions. My brothers are those who have believed in me or will believe in me and they haven't seen me. And then he went on to explain the reward that they will receive. That they will get the reward that is equal to the reward that so much is so much of one of you. So the companion said, you mean they'll get the reward of one of us? You mean one of them, Ya Rasulullah, they'll get the reward of one of them. He said, no, they'll get the reward that such and such, that's like the reward of yours. So the Shaykh went on to say that a person after hearing this hadith, he may come to understand that people who come after the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam can possibly be better than them by the text of this hadith. The Shaykh said this is not the case. This is a problem and a misunderstanding. He said that what the Prophet was talking about sallallahu alaihi wasallam was a amrun, was talking about the ajrun makhsus and an amr that's makhsus. He was talking about the specific reward for a specific action. This hadith that was just mentioned, my brothers are going to come. Aren't we your brothers? No, you're my companions. They're going to get the reward of such and such of one of you. He, the Shaykh said, this hadith is talking about a specific reward for a specific action or a specific affair. And what is the explanation of that? The Shaykh said, what there is no doubt about is if a person believed in Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is the specific action. The person believed in the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he believed in the true Iman that was not affected with any doubt. He had absolute certainty that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the truth. And he never met him and he never saw him. That is virtuous. And it's not like the one who had been afforded the opportunity to actually see and to meet him, and he was given the chances to see things that proved why he was the truth. So as a result of that specific affair that they did not see him, they will get a specific reward for that particular issue. And that does not mean that those people who will get the specific reward are better than the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in all angles of their existence and their Islam. No, just in that particular thing, these people will get a special reward. They're going to be rewarded for that Iman. But the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam know that are better than everyone from all angles. But in this particular issue, these people will get the reward. And no one can become better than the Prophet's companions, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wa radiyallahu anhum ajma'in. And the proof of that is this hadith. The hadith that dispels the permissibility of someone feeling that he can be better than the companions as a result of coming after him with this hadith that we just mentioned is the hadith in which the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, do not curse my companions.